We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas David ben Menachem Menush and Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Chala Perek Dalid Mishnah Zayin. We mentioned before Syria. Syria is modern day Syria, or at least northern Syria, along the banks of Nahar Pras of the Euphrates River, which David had conquered, but he conquered it before the entirety of Eretz Israel. So those areas, Aram Tsova, Aram Naharaim, so those don't have the same status as Eretz Israel, a quasi status of Eretz Israel. So we're going to discuss the issue when it comes to Chala as well. Yisrael Shahiu Arisim Laovdei Kochavim B'Syria. In every case, we have Jews who are sharecroppers in the fields of non-Jews in Syria. So we're taking the position that, if you remember, we've discussed this as well, taking the position that Ein Kinyan Lenochri Lahavkia Midei Masros, that a non-Jew's ownership of Eretz Yisrael proper does not release it from the chiyuv of Trumos and Masros. The soil has Kedusha and it's chayv in Trumos and Masros as well. So that being the case, we're going now to extend that concept to Syria. That would mean if a non-Jew owns a field in Syria and we give it a quasi status of Eretz Israel, so then that also means that there would be a chiyuv of Trumos and Masros, albeit midrabbanan, in that area. And if a non-Jew owns a field there, so it won't be exempt. And therefore, if a Jew has some, either partial ownership, or maybe it's a sharecropper, as we'll see, so Trumos Umasos must be separated according to one opinion. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Yisrael show you Arisim, Laovde Kochavim Besuria. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayiv Per Yosei, Mamasos of Ashvis, though that produce, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Chayiv. That sharecropper has to separate Masros, Trumos and Masros from that produce, obviously during the 6 years of, and first 6 years, and then the Shemitah year, so the din of Kedusha Shviyah applies to it. Because we endow Surya with this Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Midarabonon. From Gamliel Poter, Gamliel says no, exempt, he says, the dinim derabonon of Trumos and Masros and Shemitah do not apply completely in Syria. What does that mean? It means that it will apply to a land that's entirely owned by a Jew. So, according to Rambam Gamliel, if a non-Jew owns a share in the land of Syria, let's say a share, meaning let's say he's a partner with a Jew, or a Jew in this case, our Mishnah is a sharecropper, it's not going to be subject to the laws of Trumos Masros and Shemitah. Where does Rav Gamliel agree? He doesn't disagree completely. I mean, Syria has a certain status of Eretz Yisrael Midrabanan. Yeah, but that's only land that's completely owned by a Jew. That's Rav Gamliel's opinion. Says the Mishnah, however, the Mishnah continues and is now going to apply this concept to Chala. And we're going to learn as well, and we mentioned also in the past, that that Chala is Chayv Midrabanan in Chutzlar, it's not Midoraisa, but we have to figure out what the story is with Surya. So the din is, in general in Chutzlar, is that we do separate Chala Midrabanan, but the din actually is that we're supposed to separate, we don't do this nowadays, we'll have to discuss why a little bit later, but the din is in Chutzlar, you're supposed to separate two portions of Chala. One of those portions we burn, that we're familiar with, and the other we give to a Kohen. So, which once again, we don't do nowadays, but that has to be done. Now, why is that true? Because mi doraisa chal only applies melechem aretz when you come to the land of Israel. Mi drabanan, they extended it to chutz laretz. But certainly, when we separate chala, we can't eat it. We can't give it to a kohen, or we shouldn't give it to a kohen, lechatchila, because there's tumas eretz ha'amim. Chutz la'aretz is there's a general tumah derabanan in all of chutz la'aretz, because only in Eretz Israel are people careful to know where and to mark the graves where people are buried. In chutz la'aretz, it could be people buried underneath people's homes they don't even know, and they could come in contact with a corpse. So Tumas Meis will make all Trumat Tame. So we have to Chala Tame. So we have to assume that the Chala is Tame in Chutz Laret. But we separate it anyway. We separate it anyway because we want to make sure that people are going to remember the law of Chala. And that is why it's extended to this halacha as well of separating a portion that's given to a Kohen. We give a Kohen a portion, even if that Kohen is Tameh, so that people won't forget that challah is supposed to be given to a Kohen. So one portion is separated as challah, this is what's burnt. And the other is separated to the Kohen, which is not to forget that challah goes to a Kohen. So, now the question is, how do we treat Surya? In Eretz Israel, we separate one challah, and it goes to a Kohen. In Chutz Laaretz, where there's Tumas, Eretz Hamim, Tumas Derabban, and everything's Tameh, we're supposed to separate two challahs. One is burned, and one is given to a Kohen. What is the story with Surya? So, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Shtei Chalos B'Surya. Surya, you separate two Chalos. Well, this is consistent, because Rabban Gamliel was of the opinion that unless a land is completely owned by a Jew in Surya, it doesn't have a Din D'Rabbanan of separating Trumas from Asros. So, generally speaking, he looks at Surya as very much like Chutz La'aretz. So that being the case, we understand why, according to him, you separate two challos in Surya. One challah is burnt, and one is given to the Kohen. But Rabbi Eliezer Omer, challah echos. Rabbi Eliezer is also consistent. He was mechayev, even a piece of land owned by a non-Jew, when the Jew is a sharecropper in Surya, because there's something almost endowed me to Rabban in the soil of Surya, that there'll be trumos umasros in that land, even if it's owned by a non-Jew. So, therefore, it has more of a status of Eretz Yisrael. So, regarding challah as well, you separate one challah, and you give it to, and you give that to the Kohen. Achazu kulo shel Rabban Gamliel v'kulo shel Rabbi Eliezer. What started happening was people were accepting, taking hold, literally, of the kul of Rabban Gamliel, of the leniency of Rabban Gamliel, and they were saying, people were following his position and not separating Trumos Umasa from Surya in a land that was either a partnership with a non-Jew or a Jew who's a sharecropper of a non-Jew. They were being lenient. On the other hand, the kulos Rabban Eliezer, they were following Rabban Eliezer's kula, leniency, when it came to challah, and they were only separating one challah, treating then Surya like Eretz Yisrael. So that obviously is not acceptable. Chazru linhoki devir Rabban Gamliel b'shtei derachim. And the Mishnah says, okay, after maybe someone gave them mussar, they went back and started following Rabban Gamliel's position in both ways. Number one, that they would not separate Trumos Umasos from Surya, assuming a non-Jew had some portion in the ownership of that land. And therefore it's like Chutz La'aretz, more like Chutz La'aretz, and they separate two challos as well. It's probably the better of the two, the better deal. Not a big deal to separate two challos. One is burnt, one given to the Kohen, and this way you're exempt from Trumos Umasros completely. Perek, Dalet, Mishnah, Ches. We mentioned also in the past that when we speak about Eretz Yisrael, so the different time periods, Yeshua, what's called the Ole Mitzrayim, so they sanctified a certain portion of Eretz Yisrael, and after that Kedusha, after the destruction of the first base, the Kedusha dissipated, and 70 years later, when Ezra came up, Ezra led the Ole Bavel, so they sanctified certain areas, but not all areas. So that also has a quasi-status of Eretz Yisrael. Some of the earlier areas that used to be a kadosh from the days of Yehoshua, but were not re-sanctified. So we usually look at Eretz Yisrael in three sections, three regions. Number one are areas that were kadosh in the days of Yehoshua and kadosh in the days of Ezra, were re-sanctified by the Ole Bavel. Then areas that only Yehoshua made kadosh, and we're only holy till the first base of Hamikdash was destroyed. And then there are areas that no one captured. They were never kadosh, but they are officially part of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So regarding challah, the Mishnah says like this: Rabban Gamliel Omer, Shalosh Aratzos LaChallah. There are three lands when it comes to challah. So Eretz Yisrael, what's the first region? So this is the first region which was re-sanctified by Ezra, which is still kadosh nowadays. So this is the highest level. And that's me Eretz Yisrael v'ad kiziv, chala echos. So you separate one chala, because it has the status of Eretz Yisrael. So you don't have that takana d'rabbanan of two chalas. One chala given to the Kohen, and that's it. That's from Eretz Yisrael until the northernmost city, which is Kiziv. That is Achziv. Different opinions where that is. Near Akko. It may be on the western side of Eretz Yisrael. Different opinions. But that is that's an area that we assume up until that point was conquered or re-sanctified by Ezra. So one chal is separated. Mikiziv va'ad hanahar va'ad amana shtei chalos. However, the area which was conquered and sanctified by Yeshua, but not by the Oli Bavel with Ezra, is from Kiziv until the Nahar. The Nahar, not clear which particular river this is referring to. And Amana, also a question, but many claim this is Hor Hahar. This is the north. This is north of Eretz Yisrael, Hor Hahar, which is maybe only as far as Turkey, maybe near somewhere in Lebanon. So, but that information, and this Nahar is also up there in that northern area. So, from the Kiziv area eastward until this river, and from Kiziv westward until these Amana mountains, which maybe Hor Hahar. So that was originally part of Eretz Yisrael, but Ezra did not conquer. So here, two chalas. Obviously, we're treating it in this regard like Chutz Laaretz. Achas la'ur, v'achas la'kovin. That we know already. One is burned. Like we treat Tamei Chala in Chutz La'aretz, and Achas La'Kohen, but once given to a Kohen, so people remember that the only reason we're burning the other Chala is because it's Tamei, but not because we don't want to ever give it to a Kohen. So this is a reminder that Chala in general, assuming it would be Tahor, is supposed to be given to a Kohen, so we give it to a Kohen. It's Tamei, and maybe even the Kohen is Tamei, that's okay. It's a Takana Derabbanan. And the Mishnah here says, the Shel'ur Yeshla Shi'ur, the one that goes into the fire, that's the real Chala. That's the real Chala. That has a shear. That has the needs to have a minimum amount. So the minimum measure we spoke about in general is 1/24th, 1/48th, whatever it may be, of a shel kohen ein lo shear. But one given to the kohen does not need a shear. So, and that's also, once again, that telling us, reminding us that the one that's given to a kohen is only means, it's really only means rabbanon. This is telling me just a complete takana that I give to the kohen, it's tummy. So that is, it does not need a shear. Then the Mishnah says, the final area, this is the area that was never conquered. So it was never part of Eretz Yisrael officially, with any Kedusha at all. Min HaNahar, from that river, which we used to mention, is not exactly sure, but certainly north, or maybe northeast, according to one interpretation, Umin Amana Velifnim, and the from the Hor Hahar, from Amana Mountains, inward towards that river. So the Mishnah says, Shtei Chalos, Shtei Chalos. So here also two portions. Obviously, it was never kadosh, so this is self-evident. Achas la'ur v'achas la'kohen, I do the same thing as well. Shel ur ein lashir, v'shel kohen yesh lashir. So here, interestingly, the Mishnah says in these areas that were never sanctified, so we now, I do separate two chalos, but I view them differently. Separate a chala that's separated here, so both portions that I'm separating are obviously midrabanan. When it came to the previous era that Yoshua sanctified it, Ezra did not. So there was a point where there was a real chiyuv chala there. So that had a certain status, and that's the one that's tummy that is burnt. But here these are both midrabanan. So both portions that I separated, since I know they're both midrabanan, the Chachamim decided that we should apply that obligation to separate that minimum amount, the portion given to the Kohen, which at least will be eaten, rather than the portion that's going to be burnt. So the minimum amount of challah that's needed for the portion that's eaten by the Kohen is 1/48th, and we assume it's 1/48th, whether it's being made for yourself or for sale. And this is what we normally do. If I have dough that became tamei without kavana, so that's normally what I'm supposed to do anyway, and 1/48th would be sufficient. So here, it's two chalos, but it's the one that's being burnt that has no shear, that you can do a little bit, that's given to the Kohen, that should have a shear. And then the Mishnah says, regarding this portion that's going to the Kohen, the Mishnah is going to discuss here, where I have, even in this last area, it would be enough to have one shear. And one portion of challah. So the Mishnah is going to tell me how that works. Utvul yom ochla. So Tevul Yom is someone who became Tameh, and he went to Mikvah, but he hasn't waited till Harif Shemesh, the sun has not set just yet. So the Mishnah here is telling me, if I have a Kohen, or anyone from in his family, he's able to eat this challah that otherwise would have been burned in the fire, so he's able to eat this challah. It says, Utvul Yom Ochla. So we would allow a Tevul Yom to eat this challah. What does it mean? So here we have, once again, this, the Tevul Yom, was speaking about someone who is a, let's say, a Baal Keri. He's had a seminal discharge, which we say he normally has a little bit of a quasi-tumah status until the sun has set, as we had mentioned. Now, so because challah in Chutz La'aretz is midirabanan, so the Chachamim said, we allow a Tevul Yom to eat it. Not a problem. And a Kohen who has become Tameh from, let's say, something, that, not because of something that has left his body, but let's say from an Avela or a dead Sheretz or something like that, he also is allowed to eat challah from outside Eretz Israel, even if he has not gone to Mikvah. We're only machmir by Kohanim who became Tameh through something that came from their body, which is usually more severe. Nonetheless, we give them the challah, but they have to have gone to the Mikvah, even though they don't need Harev Shemesh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzorich Tevila. Rabbi Yossi says, they don't need tevila. So what's happening? What is his opinion regarding these people? He's saying they don't even need to go to mikveh at all. So here we go. That when it comes to, remember, this is this third area of Eretz Yisrael that has never become kadosh. So we have to burn the first portion of challah and give a second portion to the Kohen. That's what we said we do in this area. But that's only when there's no Kohen available who has gone to the mikvah, I was a Baal Keri and went to the mikvah. If I have a Kohen who has gone to the mikvah, and although he hasn't had Harav Shemesh, all I need to do is separate a portion, one portion of challah, that would have been burnt, and it's a shiur, we said, the one that's right, a certain amount. I give it to the Kohen, and I don't have to separate another portion, because he's able to eat it. So, meaning, when do we say I have to separate two portions? That, if the only Kohanim that are around who can take the challah are tameh through as a Baal Keri. So these Kohanim, right, they're not allowed to eat that first portion of challah, that's what has to be burnt. So I take another one, and I give it to a Kohen, and that's a reminder. And that portion is allowed to be eaten by a Kohen who's Tameh, even with a higher level of Tumah. But if you have, right, but if there is a, if you have a Kohen who is a Tevul Yom, he's gone to the mikvah, or a Kohen is available who's, let's say, young, who's a child, who's under the age of 9, where he cannot become Tameh as a Baal Keri. So then one challah, that 1/48th amount, one portion is enough. You give it to him, you don't have to separate another portion at all. And Rabbi Yossi says that in order to eat challah outside Eretz Yisrael, or this third area, which is we treat the same, he doesn't even need to have gone to mikvah in order to eat challah outside Israel. He says, since challah outside Israel is midrabanan, a Kohen who is completely tameh, even as a Baal Keri, is allowed to eat it outside Eretz Israel, or presumably in this third region of Eretz Israel, which never became kadosh. Then the Mishnah says, though, but according to the Tanakhama, v'asuru l'azavim, v'la'azavos, l'anida, v'la'yodos, these are very high levels of tuma, ava, tuma, azav, and azav, we mentioned in the past, anida, and a yoledus, a woman who gave birth. So these, we do not give the challah to these people. Only if I have a woman, let's say, is in the family of Kohanim. So if the only available Kohanim or members of their family are Tameh with these high levels of Tumah, then I have to go back. I do have to separate the two portions of Challah for this in Chutz La'aretz or in this third northern area of Eretz Yisrael, which was never sanctified. One portion is burned. The other, it can be eaten even by those who are Tameh. V'ne'echelis im hazara la shulchan, another halacha. See, challah of Eretz Yisrael has has certain laws. A Kohen can't eat Chalav Eretz Yisrael under the same table where a non-Kohen is eating, because we're afraid that a non-Kohen may, the Tzar may end up eating the Chalav. Also, you can't give Chalav Eretz Yisrael to a Kohen who doesn't, who's not meticulous in the laws of eating Chulin Bitara. According to the Kohen, we're careful even to eat non-Kadosh food Bitara. So that's where we're afraid, because he may be careless with the Chalav and make it Tumet. So the Mishnah says these halachos, these restrictions don't apply to the Kohen's portion of challah when it's outside Eretz Yisrael. That's what Mishnah says. V'necheles im hazar al hashulchan. That portion that's given to the Kohen in Chutz La'aretz, which is said is given to the Kohen as a takana midrabanan, can be eaten by a Kohen together with a Zar at the same table. And when he tells the Chol Kohen, and it can be to him in Kohen, even a Kohen who's not careful to eat chulin bitara. Now, one last, that's the end of the Mishnah, but one interesting question, which is important, halacha l'maaseh, is we live in Chutz La'aretz, we separate challah midrabanan, and we don't find ourselves separating two portions, one that's burnt and one that goes to the Kohen, and allowing a Kohen to eat it betumah. It seems that that's what we should be doing. So that's, the Mefarshim asked that question, and the Rush and the Rash make the following suggestion, that the halacha applied, when did I separate two portions in Chutz La'aretz, or in this northernmost portion of Eretz Yisrael, which never had Kedusha? That's only when we still had the ashes of the Parah Aduma. And the Kohanim had the potential to make themselves pure from Tumas Meis, and therefore eat Challah in a complete state of Tara. So therefore, the Chachamim said like this, let's separate two portions outside of Israel, because not everyone was aware that Chutz La'aretz is Tameh, and if they separate one portion and burn it, people in Eretz Yisrael may think, look at that, it's Tahor Challah. They didn't know it was Tameh Challah. I guess I'm allowed to burn a Tahor Challah. So, and let's say the Chachama would have allowed a Kohen to eat it, so those who didn't know that outside Eretz Yisrael was Tameh may think that you're allowed to eat Tameh Challah, even in Eretz Yisrael. But today, so we don't have the ashes of Parah Aduma, right? All challah is Tameh, and that's to be burnt even in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, there's no concern someone's going to think, oh, I'm allowed to burn Tahor Challah or eat Tameh Challah. So therefore, it's sufficient to take one portion and burn it.